in the beginning when we first started doing some networking pieces in the 80s and early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, it was very, very new, very uncontrolled, and it started out as just local area networks where people wanted to be able to communicate between one computer to another inside of a single office. And as it kind of ballooned out, there wasn't a lot of controls initially on how those networks were going to be configured or how they were going to be interconnected. And so in mid-90s or so is where, you know, SAF came in and said, okay, at MatchComs, you've got to get control of this, and here's kind of a pathway ahead. But even then, that was kind of ambiguous because the MatchComs kind of got the liberties to do what they needed to kind of within some soft boundaries. So that's where some of these networks or all these networks really grew up from, out of need. And a big driver for the speed up has been the Air Force Network Action Plan that was signed off by the Chief of Staff of the Air Force. Due to some incidents that happened on the network, there was a commission that came out that said, okay, what do we do to harden our network? And the AFNET migrations was listed as a top priority for hardening the network and providing that visibility and that command and control to 24th Air Force to be able to mitigate and counter some of the actions that are happening external to the Air Force.
Let's talk about what it means to have one network. I think all the services are striving toward or already claim to have one network, but you still have all these disparate mission needs. People need IT for different things. What does it mean to have a single network?
What we mean in the scope of the AFNET migration is the standard core services that service the entire Air Force. So we are focusing on things like email, and there are still instances where you're going to have some dedicated circuits or things like that, but what we're doing in this effort is we're providing that single view into those that will allow us to command and control those as well. So while they're not going to be integrated and controlled by the same mechanism, they're still visible by the same mechanism so that 24th Air Force understands where they're at and how they're being utilized.
So let's talk about some of those services that you're bringing up into the enterprise. I would assume that there are typical office functions that make sense for most enterprises to have at a little bit of a higher level.
Obviously, electronic mail, email, a single help desk or service desk for the Air Force. So there will be one number that users call if they have an issue. We're working towards the single patch management and single system for deploying new software, new operating systems, doing those type of upgrades, and a single authentication system. So a single electronic identity, if you will, a persona for each individual. So inside the AFNET, we control from authoritative sources all of the information about the individual. So when you send an email and it has your, what we call a display name, and it has your rank and your organization, all of that is pulled from either DEERS or DMDC, and it's automatically populated. So a lot of the mechanisms that we put in place is kind of to alleviate some of the manpower-intensive functions that were in the older networks as well.
So that single identity obviously enables a lot of the enterprise services that you want to do. What's the status on how those are going to be hosted and how those are going to be managed? Are those going to be Air Force owned, Air Force operated?
So that still is in flux. And what we're looking at, and we're working very diligently with the AFSpace team and even DISA and other external entities, is what absolutely has to be hosted inside the Air Force and what doesn't. And there are certain services, just like the enterprise email, and I think the direction that we're going to be continuing down, unless we get new directives, is eventually the Air Force is going to be taking part in the enterprise email. So what we're doing in the AFNET migration is posturing to make that as painless as possible for the Air Force users. So when we do that migration, it won't be from 10 or 15 or 20 different environments. It's all from one, and we'll have one migration path. We're also trying to identify other services that may be able to be hosted external to the Air Force, those that make sense that we require collaboration with other services or other entities. There will obviously always be services and systems that are required exclusively for the Air Force mission, and those will continue to be hosted in probably an Air Force infrastructure. But as with anything, that can also change over time, so we're very, very flexible with how the policy comes down. But the bottom line that we like to get to is this step for AFNET migrations really enables a much smoother transition for any of those services to go to an enterprise-hosted facility.
Army going through a similar process like this to this, except it seems like they did things in a little bit different order. They started setting up enterprise email and learned that they weren't behaving like an enterprise and learned that they had to fix things as they went. Have they shared any lessons with you or you with them as far as how to do a huge network migration like this?
Yes, actually, probably not as much as we would like to. We have tried a couple of times to really sit down and do kind of a deep dive into lessons learned, but we have traded all of our documentation back and forth. So there is still some work to be done as far as synchronizing what we both know as they start their Active Directory consolidation efforts outside of the email efforts. They can learn a lot from what we've done, and that we've already provided all the documentation to their POCs. And likewise, we've tried gathering as much as we could from them. But it is still on our to-do list to have a sit-down at the technical level with their folks that are doing the email migrations to really understand how they're doing it, why they're doing what they're doing, and what the impacts are, so that we can kind of frame the Air Force methodology for transitioning to DoD email in the future.
So what kind of expenses involved in doing the whole AFNET migration for the Air Force, and you know, how are you managing to fund it, given the fact that IT budgets seem to be coming down for everybody?
Basically, what we're doing, we're considering an execution year project, but we are tied to the AFNET increments that are fielded as a standard program. So what we're really doing is we're pulling forward some of those dollars. So really, we're paying ahead for requirements that we would have to do in the later years based on a current mission need. Dollars are sometimes a struggle to get, but we have mappings back to standard programs that are already funded to certain levels that we're just executing those requirements early on.
And on the efficiency side of things, there's got to be some cost savings you're expecting, even as you have to spend some money up front. I'm thinking of things like not having to have as many personnel to operate all your little IT enclaves, since you're moving a lot of those services up to the cloud.
Absolutely. So we do have significant savings in numbers of servers that are required. In addition to what we're doing for service consolidation, we're also doing a virtualization effort on top of that. So where we would normally need 28 servers, we only need 3 servers from a physical purchase perspective. So all of that drives down long-term sustainment costs and personnel costs for having to maintain that equipment and operate that equipment.